High in the mountains of Danland sits Mount Eskel, a village isolated from the kingdom below. Here, 14-year-old Miri lives a life defined by what she cannot do. Too small to work in the Linder Quarry, where her village derives its livelihood, Miri feels useless in a community where worth is measured by contribution to quarry work. Each morning she tends goats, a child's job, while watching her sister Marta and father cut the precious stone that builds lowland palaces. The rejection stings, creating a painful divide between Miri and her father that she doesn't understand. Life in Mount Eskel follows ancient rhythms. The villagers have developed quarry speech, a mysterious ability to communicate through stone. Their economy depends entirely on seasonal traders who purchase linder blocks at whatever price they dictate. When Miri attempts to negotiate with a trader named Enric, he offers half what she asks, mockingly adding honey to sweeten the deal and joking that she might someday be his queen, a comment that will prove ironically prophetic. Despite the hardships of mountain life, simple meals, carefully rationed supplies, harsh winters, there's profound beauty in their existence. Mountain songs, tight-knit community bonds, and breathtaking landscapes. This delicate balance is about to be shattered by news from the kingdom below. Mount Eskel's peaceful existence shatters when royal delegates announce that the future princess will come from their village. All girls aged 12 to 17 must attend an academy to prepare for Prince Stefan's selection. Despite initial resistance from Miri's father, the villagers ultimately yield to the king's authority. Miri feels both anxious and secretly relieved at the prospect of change as 20 girls arrive at the Stone Minister's house, their new Princess Academy. Tutor Alana establishes a harsh regime with physical punishments and soldiers enforcing discipline. Miri soon experiences Alana's terrifying closet punishment firsthand. Divisions quickly form among the girls. When Miri suggests escape, Alana punishes everyone by canceling their weekend home visit, turning the others against her. Katar insists they must stay for their chance at royalty. As winter isolates them from their families, the girls immerse in rigorous studies. Despite her skepticism about lowlanders, Miri resolves to become academy princess and excel through education, discovering an unexpected alternative to quarry work. In the academy's library, Miri discovers a world beyond Mount Eskel through books. She secretly masters reading, demonstrating skills that earn Alarna's praise, but deepen the rift with other girls, especially Katar. Yet Miri persists, finding that education offers unexpected power. Her most significant discovery comes from a commerce book. Linder is worth 1 gold coin per block, far more than traders have been paying her village for generations. This knowledge becomes a precious secret until she can share it with her community. Miri also investigates quarry speech after Gertie mentally calls for help when locked in a closet. She experiments with sending messages through the academy's linder floors, theorizing that the stone enables communication. Her intellectual awakening transforms her self-understanding. She realizes value exists beyond physical strength. Her growing knowledge gives her confidence as she questions her future, becoming princess, returning to Mount Eskel with new skills, or finding another path entirely. When Alana restricts holiday visits to only Miri and Katar, the academy girls unite to escape. Using quarry speech through the lender floor, Miri coordinates their flight home as Alana's threats fade behind them. During their homecoming, Miri reveals Linder's true value to the village council and proposes demanding fair payment from traders, threatening to sell directly in lowland markets. The village embraces her economic plan. Back at the academy, Miri negotiates with Alana, weekly visits home, time off when traders come, and no physical punishments, in exchange for diligent study and following reasonable rules. She subtly reminds Alana that the future princess could report mistreatment or reward good teaching. Surprisingly, Alana accepts, praising their diplomacy. This victory proves they can effectively use their voices, applying lowlander knowledge while maintaining mountain solidarity. For Miri, this confirms her value lies in her quick mind and courage, qualities soon tested by greater challenges. Despite her academy success, Miri still carries the pain of her father's refusal to let her work in the quarry. When her sister suffers an accident there during spring holiday, Miri rushes to help but is ordered away by her father. An elder worker reveals the truth. Her mother died after falling in the quarry while pregnant with Miri. Her father kept her from quarry work not from shame at her small size, but from fear of losing her too. "You are your ma alive again," he explains. The next morning, her father embraces her with a tearful apology. "I'm sorry, my flower." This understanding lifts a weight from Miri's heart. Miri realizes her world has expanded beyond the quarry to 1,000 things she could be. When Mardata successfully reads a page, she admits fearing she was too dull to learn, having internalized Lowlander's prejudice. These revelations help the community heal and envision new possibilities. Disaster strikes when bandits attack the academy, taking the girls hostage. Their leader, Dan, demands the prince's chosen bride for ransom and threatens to kill resistors. In captivity, Miri uses quarry speech through the Linder floor. After days of effort, she makes contact with Petter, who has brought armed villagers for rescue. Miri organizes an escape through a dismantled window. 16 girls flee before the alarm sounds. As they struggle through snow, some are recaptured. Dan grabs Miri, threatening to see her broken and dead. During the standoff, many bandits desert, frightened by the mountain's power. Only Dan and two others remain, holding Miri, Issa, and Britta. Dan backs toward the cliff edge, unaware. Using quarry speech to communicate with Petter, Miri stabs Dan's wrist with her Linderhawk carving. When Dan grabs her ankle, Miri's father throws his mallet, striking Dan, who falls to his death. This dangerous encounter tests everything Miri has learned, her courage, intelligence, and mastery of quarry speech, uniting mountain traditions with lowland knowledge. Life on Mount Eskel transforms after their return. The villagers trek home through deep snow under sunshine, with Miri thanking the mountain. Even Owana finds her place in village life. Miri begins teaching reading to everyone, envisioning an academy for all. When Prince Stefan returns, he chooses Britta, revealing their childhood connection. Miri feels relief, knowing her future belongs on Mount Eskel. After farewells, Petter meets Miri carrying books home. He confesses his gladness she wasn't chosen as princess. They discuss their futures, Petter creating Linder designs, Miri planning her academy. When he takes her hand, both hearts race with promise. At home, Miri sits with family by Britta's garden, singing while tending plants where Miri flowers, her namesake, bloom from every crack. This embodies her legacy, bringing knowledge to her mountain while honoring its traditions. Through her journey, Miri discovers the value of unique gifts, bridging mountain and lowland, tradition and innovation, creating a vision where education brings prosperity without sacrificing identity.